Welcome to Zion Teachers Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an international prophet and Bible teacher and a prolific author of 40 books. These books have been translated into about 25 languages. In his 50-year ministry, he has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, conventions, pastors' seminars, television, and radio. Dr. Bailey is currently president of Zion Fellowship International and the senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Glory Hill in Waverly, New York. He is also president of Zion University and Zion Ministerial Institute, which has Bible schools in over 30 countries around the world. Today's topic is on the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms brings comfort, encouragement, direction, and courage to believers from all walks of life. Join with us now as we open our hearts to what the Lord has to say from the book of Psalms.
Welcome to our study on a selection from the Psalms. First of all, we should define basically what we mean by the Psalms. And it is a poem which is set to music. Now, the Psalms are at once a prayer book of Israel and also their hymnal. And so it has been for the church. In every revival throughout the history of the church has always gone back to the Psalms because they are, if I could say this, a solace in times of trouble, and they bring such an enrichment to our own spirit. Now, we're going to look, first of all, at Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 starts off with the word blessed. And we should give a little background to this psalm before we get into it. And it's written by King Solomon. King Solomon, in his early age, was traveling up north from Jerusalem, and he espied a beautiful tree. And looking at it, the anointing of God came upon him, and out from his mouth came this beautiful psalm, Psalm 1. Now, it starts off with the word blessed, and we ought to define blessed. Some people say, well, it's being happy, but happy really comes from the English happen chance, and it depends on the things around us. Now, blessed is not that at all. It's not dependent upon the things around us, but it's an inward contentment. It's an inward, if I could say this, serenity, a peace and joy that comes from God. And so it's independent of the things that are around us. And we have so often in the Word of God this word blessed. And of course, the Lord used it quite extensively when he was talking on the Sermon on the Mount. But here we have a thought of blessedness, and it's dependent basically on two things: whom we associate with and what we meditate upon. Well, first of all, whom we associate with. And there are three degrees, if I could say this, three degrees of threes in this first verse concerning evil companionship. Now, let's have a look at it first of all. It says, first of all, blessed is the man. And that word man is not just any man, but it is a man who is a particular man. The Spanish brings it out better, I think, Farón, meaning a very special man. One out of 10,000, if I could say that. And concerning this man who is blessed, we find that certain things are recorded about him. It's all actually in the negative. And first of all, it speaks about his walk. Walk. Now, it's so important in life whom you walk with. Because whom you walk with is going to depend what kind of a person you are. And obviously, if you walk with an evil person, then you are going to walk in a very wrong way. And then it goes on, standing. You know, one thing to walk with a person and to converse with a person, but when you stand, you're actually taking a position, standing in the way. In other words, you've taken a position. And then also the next thing is sitting. There's a sort of sense of permanency. You know, you've established what you believe, and that is what you're going to do. So that thought of walking, then it comes to standing, and then it comes to sitting. Well, after that, there are these degrees, you see. Walking in the council. Council. Who is counseling you? Whom do you turn for counsel? You see, it's so important who counsels you, because that person will guide you. You know, I've just finished a book where I have entitled it Studies in the Characters of the Kings of Judah. And it is amazing that these kings that ruled, there were 20 of them actually, from Solomon on downwards in the Davidic line, how they were influenced by their counselors. Some did very well when they had godly counselors, and as soon as those people were taken from them and they had other counselors who were wicked, how they turned out of the way. You know, who counsels you? And then after that, you see, not only comes the thought of counseling, but, you know, the way you walk in, the path you choose in life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear indeed by actually defining just two ways. One was the narrow way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that choose that way. Then there is the broad way that leads to destruction. And you have got to determine yourself, which way am I walking in? It would depend on who counsels you. And then after that, you know, we have the thought that there's a development there of sitting again. Sitting in the seat. And so I want you to ponder these things very carefully. Now it is followed by 3 degrees of evil. 3 degrees of evil. And these 3 degrees of evil are, first of all, the ungodly. Ungodly means someone who's very restless. It speaks of the ungodly as being like the sea, tossed to and fro, having no peace. That's a definition, basically, of the ungodly. And then the next one is the sinner. And the sinner is one who habitually does evil. Not just once, you know, doing something wrong, but one who has set his feet in the pathway of sin, and that's his way of life. And then afterwards, there is a scornful. These people laugh at the judgments of God. But who laughs last? It's God. God mocks those scornful people. And in due time, their end comes. So here we have the one who is blessed. First of all, what is his way of life? Who counsels him, you see? And that is so important. You know, we should not make any mistake whatsoever that evil companions corrupt good morals or ruin our character. You know, in the positive sense, the book of Proverbs says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. you take on, if I could say this, the cloak of those whom you walk with. And so it's very important indeed, at the onset of looking at this psalm, to ask yourself, who are my friends? You know, there's that old adage, birds of a feather flock together. You know, we are living on quite a large property, and every spring, certain birds come onto our property. And in particular, there's a blackbird with just two stripes of red on his wing. Now, that one does not go with the other blackbirds, but he stays with those that have two stripes on his wing. In other words, birds of a feather flock together. And how do you determine the character of a person? Well, look at the ones that he associates with. And the one that he associates with is the one that he is like. And so, at the onset of the study on the Psalms, I just plead with you, you know, consider whom you walk with. Consider whom you go for counsel. Consider whom you stand with. Consider whom you sit with. Consider the one you like. You know, King Solomon, at the beginning of his life, was a very wise man. But afterwards, he turned away from the ways of God. And he ordained his successor, a man by the name of Rehoboam. And that man absolutely corrupted the kingdom when he came to the throne. But why was he selected by King Solomon to succeed him? It was because King Solomon had turned away, and therefore he associated himself with one of his sons who was in a like way. And so he lost everything. The kingdom was divided. Everything was corrupted because Solomon, you know, walked in the way of his wives, who were heathen wives, and the result was he became, in his own words, an old and foolish king. It was because of those that he took counsel with, those whom he listened to, and the result, he lost everything. Now, therefore, the first lesson that this psalm teaches us is to be very careful whom our friends are. Seek out those who are wise. Seek out the righteous. Seek out the godly. Seek out those who walk in the narrow way and eschew or hate evil. Well, then, that's the first thing that this psalm teaches us. But the next thing is this, in the positive sense, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, we are conditioned by the things that we look at, the things that we read, and the things that we think about. Now, this man who is blessed is the one who rejects evil companionship. That's very clear. But it's not sufficient to reject evil companionship. But your character has to be formed by the things that you read, the things that you meditate upon, the things that you watch. And so we are told that this man who is blessed, this one who is one out of 10,000, is one who indeed reads the Word of God regularly, meditates upon it, studies it, and above all, delights in it. You know, we go to many countries, and every country has their own particular, shall I say, fare or food. And the reason is that when you take that person out of their country, put them in another one, they still have the love of their own country's food because they have been conditioned to eat that. Well, in the same way, what we have been conditioned to read does affect us. And we love that which we have been addicted to reading. Now, in the same way, as we read the Word of God, there will come a holy addiction, a holy love, and a holy delight for God's Word. And that is something that we should cultivate. In Psalm 19, it speaks of the law of the Lord that is pure. And there's something very wonderful about the Word of God. It transforms us, it purifies us, it washes us. And so this sort of meditating is very much like a cow. You know, a cow will eat and eat, and then it will regurgitate, if I could say that, that which it has indeed eaten. And that's a sort of meditation. You read, and then afterwards you reflect on what you have read. And that conditions your mind. And so to read the Word of God is, and meditate upon it, is going to transform us. Now then, in the third verse, it speaks of the fact of that person will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that is very important too. Now, rivers of water speak of life. And a tree, where it is planted, is going to determine what kind of tree that is. You can plant a tree, for example, in the desert, the Arizonian desert. Little water, little nutrients, and the result is that that tree is almost like a shrub. Plant it in the northeast, the northwest, where there's plenty of water, and the result is that that tree becomes very tall, becomes mature, and a fruit tree, it will certainly bring forth plenty of fruit. And so, therefore, you see, this is what Solomon said. He saw that beautiful fruit tree as he was riding north towards Lebanon, and he said, oh, the one that hates evil companionship, chooses the good counsel of godly people, and loves to read and meditate upon the Word of God, he's going to be like this wonderful tree that brings forth his fruit in due season. But look what he continues to say. You know that everything or whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, isn't that what we want to do? You know, to have that kind of Midas touch. You know, King Midas in olden days, it was, you know, kind of mythology, of course, but everything he touched turned to gold. In other words, whatsoever he did prospered and multiplied and caused him to become very rich. But in actuality, this is what it's going to say, that whatsoever we do shall prosper. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's our secular life, our profession, you know, our body, soul, you know, if we will put into practice these first two verses, the promise is that we shall prosper. And it doesn't matter what we do, we shall prosper. We shall prosper in making right choices in life. We shall prosper in the family. When we go out, we will prosper. When we will come in, we will prosper. This is the promise that God gives and lays out at the beginning of these Psalms concerning the person who will choose good companionship and will meditate in the Word of God. Now, he continues and said, well, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, the beautiful picture of this tree. You know, it stands there amongst all the storms, and in its season it will bring forth its fruit. Its leaf will not fail. It's a beautiful picture of a very wonderful tree. And he says this, that's what the godly are going to be like. But he says, on the other hand, those that choose the wrong way, he said, are just like the chaff. You know, chaff has no value whatsoever. And, you know, there's a separation of the wheat and the chaff. And the wheat, of course, is very good and is used to benefit mankind, to make bread and so forth. But the chaff, you know, is separated and it just blows away. Isn't that a type of the ungodly? You know, they move from here, there, and everywhere. You know, I was reading an article a little while ago in a certain magazine, and it was considering this present generation and a certain group of people in this generation who, as it were, just live with their parents. They're constantly changing jobs, and they're constantly changing, well, regretfully, their marriages and so forth. And the result is they go from thither to thither. You know, there's no constancy. There's no fruitfulness in their life. And their life is just a life of vanity being tossed hither and thither. And that is the ungodly. That is the ungodly. He spends all his money in a simple practices. And the result is, at the end, he has absolutely nothing. And then it continues. And said, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, and sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, I'm a pastor, and I've pastored a number of congregations and have the privilege of traveling in many countries of the world. And one of the things I have noticed is this. People come to church, and they hear the good word of God. And for a time, it seems they're going to prosper. But there is no real root in them. They do not make wise choices. And even though they come to church on Sundays, their companionship and also the daily reading of the word is lamentable. The result is, after a time, in the words of the Lord Jesus, it says, he that committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant shall not remain in the congregation forever. What he's saying is this, you know, it's a privilege to be in church. You think anybody can go to church? Oh, no. You know, there comes a time, you know, when God stretches out his hands and, you know, gives the invitation, whosoever will may come. But you know, you come to church, and then what type of a person are you going to be? Are you going to be one who listens to the pastor, heeds the word of God, studies the word of God, stays away from evil companionship? Or are you going to be one who just comes to church and does not study the word of God, does not read and delight in God's word, and, you know, goes with all the people of the world, the ungodly, afterwards? There comes a time when God says, well, that's enough. And you'll be drawn away from the congregation of the righteous. You'll be drawn away. You will lose your desire to go to church. You'll lose your desire for the things of God. And God says clearly in his word, the end will be with the hypocrites. Now, I want to appeal to you, those of you listening to this dissertation on Psalm 1, I want to appeal to you. You know, it's a way of life, that counts. A way of life that's going to determine our eternal destination. And that is a consistency, a constancy, you know, in the way that we live. You know, it's not, you know, sometimes at church or sometimes in the world. No, you can't do that. You've got to have a constancy. You've got to grow, you've got to mature, you've got to be fruitful. And therefore, I want to appeal to you. Look, listen, meditate in this Psalm 1. You know, after listening to me, open your Bibles, go to Psalm 1, meditate upon it, and put it into practice. Say, who are my friends? And look at them and say, well, look, you know, look at the way they're going. You know, they're like flotsam and jetsam, up one day, down the next. No permanency, no rooting. And at the end of their lives, they've got absolutely nothing. They spent their lives in vanity. I want you to be different. I want you, you know, to walk with good people. Walk with the righteous. And then also meditate and read from Genesis to Revelation. The whole scripture is given by God for our benefits. And it will produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. And the result will be that everything you do will prosper. Everything you do will prosper. You'll be able to look back on a life of prosperity. You'll be able to look back on a life where you have well provided for your wife, your family, and that you have been a model and you have turned others into the pathway of righteousness. Well, at the end it says, you know, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You know, the Lord knows the life we live. And is our life going to be a life of righteousness? A life of walking in that narrow way? A life of walking, you know, in a way that's pleasing to God? Or are we going to be in this second category? You see, there's only two. And the second in a category is the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, I plead with you, as I close now, I plead with you, choose life, choose good companions, meditate upon the word of God, and you will be like a tree that produces its fruit. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And the result is everything you do will prosper. May God grant that that will be your testimony. Amen.